Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you on this evening and this night. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinciana Sprewell, and I am so happy and elated to always be with you. Amen. So I just wanted to talk about a few preliminary things that we're going to do or go over before we actually go into the broadcast. Remember I told you last week that we were going to work on some things, and I did contact Blog, talk to them in regards to the timing. And so next week it should be all straightened out and taken care of, and our show will resume promptly at 12 midnight as usual. So I just want to tell those of you that have tuned in a little early, I greatly appreciate you making the sacrifice for the additional time that we will be on air. Want to let you know that we've got a lot of good things going on in the Ministry of Poinciana International Ministries. And one of the first good things we've got going is that we have our upcoming Women's Conference, and that will be held May 22nd through the 24th at 7 p.m. nightly. We got some wonderful guest speakers that will be with us. We have Apostle Roberta Cutright out of Georgia. We have Pastor Marnie Alato out of Texas. And we've got some great workshop speakers that's going to be ministering to us about health, about marketing, about time management, and how to write books. And we're just going to be doing some good stuff overall that's going to catapult us to the next level. And that's what I'm all about. As they say, leveling up. I mean, I'm really about that right now. I'm about not to talk slick or slang and all that, but I'm really, for real, I'm really about that life right now. It's all about being at your best and really putting your best foot forth and getting things done. So those of you that is your first time hearing about the conference, you can go to any of my pages. I have several. I have my personal page. I have the Turning Point group. We have the Diamond Sisters fan page. And I also have Prophetess Poinciana Sprewell's, and that is my Prophetess page, fan page, and everything that I'm on is on Facebook. I am not on Twitter, and I am not on Instagram. So if you see anything that has to be related to me on those platforms, it is not me. It is not us, because we are not on there. And when we do, if we decide to go that route, we will definitely let you know, because we know a lot of people put up a lot of fake pages these days and doing a lot of crazy stuff. But that is not us. We are not on any of those social media platforms. We are only on Facebook right now at this time. So with that being said, we're also having the Champions Banquet Brunch, and that's going to be held Saturday morning at 10 a.m. And the thing with that is it's wonderful that we're going to be having that, because it's all about building strong leadership, and that's what we want to do. So with that, we're going to have strong leadership. We're going to have people that are going to be doing their thing, I'm telling you. And everybody is about growing. Everybody's about enhancement. So there will be leadership certificates that will be given out at the brunch, and you are able to get your certificate that is can go on your resume. It's enhancement in your life. It's always good to have things that you're putting on your resume and building your overall self up for your educational purposes. You can even use them as, like, in our schools and different things that we're doing and we'll be launching. You can use some of those things as credited towards different programs and stuff that we're going to have, and we'll be able to let you know that at a later date. But we're yet building. We're building and we're working on things right now to make sure that everything is set in the house in order and getting things in place. I just want to share a dream because, you know, I talk about different things. My good friend over 25 years or so called me Pastor Marnie Alotto. She's our special guest speaker. She's going to be our speaker. Not only is she our banquet brunch speaker, but she's our Sunday evening speaker as well. She called me this morning and she said, "Prophetess, I had two dreams about you." And I said, "Two dreams?" And she said, "Yeah, I had one and then I had another one." And I said, "Okay, what did you dream?" And then she said, "Well, I dreamed that I came to your house." And she said, "When I came to your house, it was a brick house. And she said, I came to your house, and it was a brick house. And she said, you had a RV place for your RV, whatever you put an RV in. She said, garage. She said, I had an RV garage. And she said, when she came in, she said, the steps were so grand. She said, oh, it was so huge. Your foyer was so big." She said, she's talking about the staircase. She was just talking about how an all the staircase was as soon as she came in. And she said, "When I came in," she said, "you had furniture wrapped. You just had all kind of stuff." And then she told me that she got in the house, and she was telling me some other things that's privy I can't share, but she mentioned that she went outside in the backyard, and she said there was a water. She said she walked out, and there's a big old waterfall there, a fountain there. And I knew what that meant because, you know, I'm from Florida, and my house that I'm in the process of seeking after is on water. So when she told me she saw the water, and she said the landscape was a lot of greenery, I knew. I was like, you know, you guys may not know, but I'm in Arizona right now, but I relocated to Florida. So I'm just trying to get some things straightened out so I can get settled and get in my place in Florida, and then I'll be home. And she didn't know anything about my house. She didn't know anything about how it was laid out or anything. And when she told me that, I just want to share this with you guys about confirmation. So I use that dream to use that as a teaching tool on this morning to teach you, just kind of tell you about dreams. So what I asked her is specific questions, okay, such as, like, for instance, she told me she saw the greenery. I'm taking this dream. I'm going to do a little teaching. This is Dream 101. So when she told me she saw greenery, I knew that that was not me being in Arizona where I am now, because Arizona, if you've ever came to Arizona, you would know that this is a dry place. You would know that we have very little greenery. We do have palm trees here, but we mostly deal with rocks, and it's a lot of sand, and it's a lot of dirt, okay? And that's almost the whole entire Midwest, the whole West, because they want to kind of preserve the water. So they try to tell you to get the fake grass or just go with the nice, pretty, nice rocks. They're real pretty. They know, you know, the landscapers know how to make it look beautiful, of course, but that's kind of like what they tell you to kind of go with as far as landscaping here. So when she's talked about all of the greenery and the water. And then there was another thing she mentioned about water. When she walked outside, she saw the water. Remember, I'm in a dry place, so there's no lakes here. Back at home, we have plenty of lakes. There's water everywhere in Florida. We've got so many ponds, and they say it's a gator in every one of them, y'all. But aside from the jokes, yeah. So she was saying in regards to the dream, telling me that she saw in the house when she described my foyer. That is just how my foyer is. And when she described, even she went in my kitchen. She even talked about, she said, well, Pastor, you know, she called me Pastor, and she said, Pastor Sprewell must don't know about this plaster. She said it was some plaster that was, that needed to be changed. And when she told me that, oh, my goodness, I almost fell out when she told me that, because she said, I must have known or I had seen it. And I was like, that plaster got to be changed in the kitchen, because I had already said I was changing out the, she said, you know, the backdrop, the backsplash in your kitchen. She said, you were changing that or changing it out or something like that. And I said, sure is, because I don't even like that. So I was taking out, gutting it out. Well, she saw that, and she said she saw the furniture wrapped, and she saw that. And I said, yes, that's because, you know, I will be doing some remodeling. I didn't even tell her that, you know, it's some remodeling that I want to do prior to even moving into my house, prior to, you know, getting it the way that I want it to be. For me and in my family to be conducive for us. So she didn't have no idea. And it was those, and that's what I'm saying. When God sends, see, that's why, and I'm going to go further. When God sends information to you, it's a reason for our dreams. And the reason why we can have dreams, for the, to let us know something about a past event. He could be letting us know about a future event, or he could be using it to teach us, or he could be showing us something. And for this instance, it was confirmation. That dream was sent to my good friend, Pastor Lotto, to show me that, yes, this is the right house, and that's confirmation on that particular home. So I'm in the right direction, and God use that to allow her to see that, to give me that reassurance of what I need to know that I'm headed in the right direction. And so that's why it's good to have other fellow sisters and brothers in the Lord that are highly prophetic. Now, one thing about her, I want y'all to come to this conference because to hear this woman of God. She is a prophetess, too. She don't go by the title of prophetess, but she is a prophetess. And we come out the same branch up under a prophetess. Prophetess Clara Strong was our pastor. So sometimes that oil and that anointing and that mantle falls down on your people, and certain ones that catch it and get it, and some people won't, especially to the magnitude of what they'll have. So that's why the Bible says priests like people. You'll have your folks that will really take after you. Some will go stronger or be more dominant than the others, because that's the way God has allowed it to be, and we know that as a fact. You know, some people like to say the saying, God has no respect to person, but, you know, that sounds good, but in reality, God do pick. He does choose. That's why he said many are called, but only a few are chosen. And the reason that is because God has set aside those that he wants to do specific things for him. Okay. I was talking to another apostle, and she was going on talking about how Jesus, when he went on the Sermon of the, when he was on the Sermon on the Mount, and when he went to the, was on transfigured, he only took three with him. He left the rest of them down there, and they couldn't even cast out the devil out the boy, because Jesus came down and said, this kind come out by fasting and praying. But when they were up before him, and Peter wanted to tell the Lord that we'll make a tabernacle right here for you, Moses, and I believe it was Elijah. And they debate which people it was, but I believe it was Moses and Elijah. And God came down and they were shook and shaken in fear and trembling when they heard God's voice, because you know He's powerful. And He was saying, no, listen to my son, like hear him. So He was telling him, like, you be quiet and you hear what my son got to say. And, you know, that right there, we learn from dreams, we learn from the visions, we learn from, you know, people and what God has to say. So, you know, it's good, y'all, to have good people around you that can see. I mean, people that, even if you're not around them on a daily basis, I'm not saying you have to be in, you know, they have to be around in your life every day. I'm saying just some people, good folks that you got, that you have a good rapport with, that you can call and talk to, and y'all can confide in one another, and y'all have that relationship. You know, you might even talk to them, but once a month, even once every other month. But when y'all talk, y'all have that good old down home conversation, and you're getting some things said, and they're sharing some things with you from their heart that's going to help you. You need people, good people that's wholesome, that's genuine people that's going to help you in this time right now. And that's what I found. I'm just looking for people, you know, and it's hard to find good people, y'all. It's hard to find good help. It's hard to find good volunteers and people like that. We got 10 minutes out before we get ready to go into the midnight hour. So I just want to say this, you know, God is good. You know, God is good. And I'm just all about people being really happy right now, you know, really happy, really, I mean, real happiness, where you can say, you know, no matter what, I'm trusting God in this. I'm trusting God through whatever's going on in my life, whatever season I'm in. I'm believing Him. I'm standing on His word, and no matter what somebody say, I'm really just going to do what the Lord has commissioned me to do. You know, and I'm standing on His word. It's 11:51 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think that what we have to do is know that no matter what we're facing or no matter what we're going through, the key factor is, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God despite what's happening in my life, despite what's going on. You know, listen, right now I'm doing a lot with establishing and branding my ministry. I'll not only have my personal ministry, but I have a church, Anointed Sabbath Ministry. So I'm looking for a rebranding and opening my doors to Anointed Sabbath Ministry. I'm going to rebrand the ministry's name. I'm not sure quite where I'm going with it. I've been praying about it, and I don't want to do anything outside the will of God, so I haven't actually came up with a name. I'm just trying to see what the Lord is saying, if that's okay with Him, where I want to go with the name. I'm going to use some of the name, but I kind of want to switch it up a little bit. I think it's a fresh thing, and I'm looking to pick back off, and we want to have a brick and mortar where we can have a beautiful place of worship. And so, and then, you know, also me traveling in my ministry itself. And so then I'm also doing a conference called Bible Study, and I do that. That's every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I also do a morning, a manna in the morning. That's what it's called, manna morning prayer, manna in the morning prayer, and that's every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I've got a lot of things that I'm doing, and that takes a lot of energy in regards to keeping it going and pushing and going forth and stuff like that. So you have to, when you are going through, you have to trust God. I mean, I have an evangelist of mine that's going to be taking over or helping me out, I should say, with the Bible study. But I'm the main person on that prayer in the morning, and I will continue to do so until I get some really strong people. Now, if you would like to be a part of that, you can also, if you want to be part of the ministry, any type of volunteer services, the doors are open as now, and we are open for all voluntary and positions. What I would like to say, if you are interested, we have a website you can go to, which is very simplistic to remember. It's PSIM. You can go back and go back over this broadcast and run it back and listen to that again. But it's PSIM, mytimeisnow.org. And that's simply PSIM, mytimeisnow.org. You can go to any of my social media pages, any of my ministry pages that I have, and there's always listed the website and the phone number to our ministry. I can give you that as well off the top of my head. It's 407-305-8977. So it's 407-305-8977, and that's the number to the ministry. You can call us, you can leave a message, someone will get back to you within 48 hours. You can send us a message, somebody will get back to you through email in 48 hours. If you write us, that's 3 to 7 business days, so it's best to kind of send us an email or call and leave a message, and someone will definitely get back with you. So we want to just talk about that a little bit. Lastly, and then I'll kind of revisit the conference a little bit, but overall what I want to say before we get ready to go in, we are counting down a little bit of under 3 minutes before we go into the midnight hour. In regards to, don't forget, the banquet brunch is, the tickets are $45 per person for your brunch. And remember, you get your leadership certificate, and you want to be a part of that, being there to get, I mean, the brunch is going to be sharp. It's going to be beautiful. And we have specific colors there, which will be metallic silver and purple. Those are our colors, the theme for the brunch. And it's going to be awesome. I mean, we're getting an awesome word. We're getting some knowledge. We're getting some stuff to put on our resume. And we're just doing some great things. I'm telling you, God is good. I just can't wait to see these things start to really come to what they say, fruition. And let me go here. I'm going to log off here. Okay, so before we get ready to go into, amen, the midnight hour, again, I want to thank those of you who've made the sacrifice, amen, to be here with us today, because it's a sacrifice. You think it's not? It's a sacrifice to take the time out your day to be a part of listening to what it is that God has for you. Amen. And I just really want to thank everybody that's willing to do that, because, you know, a lot of people don't want to do it. A lot of people don't want to take the time because they feel like, you know, I don't have to. For what? You know what I mean? But once you really have a love for the Lord and the things of God, you start to find out that it does. You don't care what other people are saying or what they're doing. You just really want to please the Lord. Amen. So once you find out that you want to please God, the other things that people are doing or what people are saying, you really just don't care too much about if it's not something that's pleasing the Lord. And that's where I have gotten. I've gotten to the place where I just really want to please the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? I know y'all get you. I know you understand. I know you're following me. I know you get it. You really want to please God in this day and hour. God is really, you know, he's pleased with us when we're doing the right things before him, you know, and we can't be half-stepping, y'all. You know, we got to watch our mouth, watch our language, watch the things that we're saying. Is it godly? You know, with some of us, we're so used to saying stuff, you know, when we don't realize how impactful it is, the things that we're saying. So we got to be mindful of the things that we're saying and the things that we are yet doing, y'all. Okay? And when we do that, you know, like I said, the Lord, he is truly, truly, truly pleased with us when we are taking the right steps and the necessities to do the things that would please him. Amen? So it is 12 o'clock midnight. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all hung in there and we made it. It is 12 o'clock on the dot, and I am so happy, amen, that we are about to go into the midnight hour. So as we talked about last week, we talked about that family, y'all, that was the ones that we were trying to figure it out. Why did the brother give up his birthright? So I wanted to just visit that, and I was just telling y'all how I could freestyle that thing off the top of my head and where it would go. Okay, so we want to, y'all start getting your Bibles, and if you don't have your Bible, you can look this up on your, and I'll repeat it a couple times so you can get it, but, you know, you really need your Bibles, y'all, when you're with me, because I believe in the Word. You understand what I'm saying? So with the Bible, we talked about last week that family, and we talked about Isaac and Jacob and Esau and the mother, Rebecca. Okay, so let's go into a little bit of it. I'm not going to go too deep into it, because I've already decided where I want to be, okay? So let's just go into a little bit of the Word here, and I want to just bear with me, because I want to make sure that I get exactly where I want to be in regards to those sons. So, you know, when you start talking about the brothers and stuff. So I'm going to just start here and try to read a little bit of this. I know we got the struggle here. Okay, yeah, okay. This is going to take me. I want to go. Y'all bear with me. So we're at Genesis chapter 25, and we're at verse 19. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We're at Genesis chapter 25, and we're at verse 19, and it states this: "And these are the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban in Syrian. Okay? And it says, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And this what let's talk about this a little bit. So it says, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations, as she went and talked to the Lord about this, because she felt something happening in her belly. She felt those kids fighting in her womb. So she went to talk to the Lord about it, like, what is this? This is strange here. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. The two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Stop right there. Remember when I was just talking to you guys about dreams, and I just told you that God has certain people that he will pick to do certain things that he has set in place because he has handpicked them. They have been chosen. Well, when Rebekah went to talk to God, he had given her confirmation, had this conversation with her to let her know that she had two nations in her and that there was a struggle between the two. So she knew exactly what her children's destiny was because God had kind of revealed that and given her a revelation of that. So the word says in 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the two came out, and I apologize, and the first, I'll say that again, and the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and the man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. With his parents, most likely. That's not in the word, but I'm just going there. And Isaac, okay, y'all follow me, loved Esau because he did eat of his Vincent, if I'm not mistaken, that is venison. Venison is deer. So I'll read that again. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So these two parents had a special love for these two different children in two different ways. And I'm going to keep going. And it says, now let me go back there. Okay. And I'm at 29. Genesis 25 and 29, it says, and Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. That's a whole generation, y'all. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So he said, you want me to give you this pottage, this red pottage? You got to sell me your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. And Esau despised his brother. Now, that's kind of thrown in there at the end. But I want to go in to read a little bit more about this. But I wanted to kind of cover just that, letting you know that we talked about last week how these two brothers had a fight with one another, and that the mother, amen, was more so on the side of Jacob, and Isaac was more on the side of Esau. And so these Esau really didn't value his birthright, and therefore he sold it out to his brother for the pottage. But at the end, he despised his brother because of his birthright. And the Bible tells us that he clearly said, what is this birthright to me? Like, what does it mean to me right now? Like, I'm starving. I want to eat. I'm not caring about this birthright. And so when it comes down to it, his father had a special love for him because they spent more time and was doing things. And the younger son, he probably was really spoiled by his mother, and his mother was trying to probably do everything that she could to really make her youngest son happy. She had already had been told the vision by God. She already knew what the destiny of her children were. So when he said, I want to make sure that this is my son, I'm going there. Isaac knew. He knew. So I want to jump to 27. I'm just going to read a little more here. I'm going to read a little more than I thought I was going to read because we've got to get a good understanding of this, okay? So Genesis 27 is going a little further into it. And it says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, okay? So this is years later, y'all, from what initially had happened earlier. We know that Esau had sold his birthright out to Jacob, but nothing had come to pass yet. It was years later, and here it is. His dad is much older, because at the time they was 40 years old when they had him. So let's see what the Word of God says. And it says in Genesis 27, at the very first verse, it says, and it came to pass, then when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. Here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. So his dad, this is his dad's last request. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me. So his dad, remember we talked about the relationship they had, they spent time together, and he was a crafty hunter. The Bible tells us how he was a hunting man, and Jacob was the one that was more so in the house around the mother, probably helping the mother out and helping the dad out and doing things in the house. But Esau was the one out laboring in the field to get the food. And his dad probably loved that about him, that he was a hard worker out in the field bringing home deer meat for him and cooking it. And he obviously cooked it for him. He said, make it savory. That means sauce it up, put some juice in it. And then he says in the word, and we are in 27, Genesis 27 and 4 states this, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So he was like, give me my last good meal right now before I'm out of here. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison. So he went to hunt to find the deer and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Remember we talked about this last week, how she went to her son, and it says this, saying, behold, I heard thy father speaking unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Remember I was talking about how the mother kind of coached the son and telling him, come on here, son, listen to what I'm telling you. 9 says, go now to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kinds of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Now, check this out. The mother, she already knew how to cook and make that good food for her husband. She knew exactly what to do. She said, now, he going to get some venison, but you go get me some goats. And I'm finna take one of these goats and chop them up and bring me that goat meat back, and I'm finna sauce this goat meat up, and I'm finna prepare it for your daddy just like he like it. So 10 says, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to his mother, Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will fail me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And I know he said, mama, this ain't going to be no blessing. This is going to be a curse when dad find out what I've done. And so 13 says, and his mother said unto him, upon me be the curse, be thy curse. My son, obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiments of her elder son. So he took the best raiments of her elder son, Esau, and it says, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands. So it means she took the skins, when it said the kids, she took the skins of the goat hair, and she attached it to, I don't know how she did that with the attachment, but she did upon his arm. And so obviously Esau was very, very hairy, if he could pass for animal skin. And upon the smooth of his neck, and she put it around his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hands of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, and art thou my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to thou badest me. Arise, and I pray thee, sit and eat of thy venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Listen, he like, now you went out and got that food that fast. You just left here. How did you go and get that meat that quick? And then Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee. He like, come here. This ain't sounding right. This ain't sounding right. That I may feel thee, my son, whether thou may very son Esau not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. That's why I tell you about the parents. They know. He said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy. See, seed. Remember I talked about how that threw him off? And as his brother Esau's hand, so he blessed him. And he said, "Thou art very son Esau." And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me." Like, come on. "I will eat of my son's venison, and my soul may be blessed." And he brought it near to him. Y'all hang on there with me. I'm almost done. And he did it. And he brought him wine, and he drank. This is the word. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled in the smell of his garments. See, he see his dad said, "Now I can't see, but I can feel him. Let me smell him." So, but he had his brother's clothes on, so you know how people have their own personal scent and they odor, and that's what he had a scent, and he had his own personal odor about him, that because he had his brother's clothes on. And he says, and he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed." And so I could imagine his clothes having that wild smell of outside, and his daddy knew that he was always out in the field, that his clothes had that wild odor. And that's what he was looking for. Okay. So, just 1 second, and then y'all hang on in there. I said, now, this dad was wise. He was looking for all the signs, y'all, of what he knew. He would look for. He was looking for the scent. He was looking for the voice. He was looking for the feel of his son. But he knew in his heart something just didn't seem right with him, that this was his oldest son. But he was trying to go along with it because everything was kind of pointing to that direction. So then in 27 says, and he came near and he kissed him and he smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren." He said, "You're going to be the Lord over your brethren. And let thy mother's son bow down to thee." He said, and let your mother's son bow down to you. He said, let your brother bow down to you. "Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee." And the blessing is still upon them this day, y'all. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he said, y'all hang in there, and he also had made savory venison, because he had to cook it, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, "Let thy father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may be blessed." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." And Isaac trembled with exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." He said, "And he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brethren came with subtlety, meaning he was crafty, and has taken away thy blessing. That's what he told him. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me, meaning to take authority over. That's what that word means. These two times he took away, then he says, he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing, my God of heaven. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? He's like, Dad, where is my blessing? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. He said, all his brethren are going to serve him. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice, and he wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heavens from above. And by the sword shall thou live, Lord have mercy, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Mm. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherein his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother, which we know they did. And they eventually came together, and he did meet his brother with later. Jacob did, when he later became Israel and came into full fruition of his destiny. It was meant to be. God said the older shall serve the younger, and the younger shall surpass him. The blessing had been given out to the youngest brother, and there was no turning back at that time. There's nothing more that he could do. See, this is what I want to talk about. Amen, about the word of God. Your word is your bond. Your word is your bond. And I think, like, even back then, the kings, when they would say something or they would make a decree in the land, they would not go back on the decree. Once it was said and set, it was in stone. And see, that's why a lot of people don't understand why John the Baptist's head had to be severed, because when Herod, which not Herod the Great, not the, that wasn't the father, y'all, that was Herod the son, when the request was made, because he had already told the damsel, which was his woman's child, that, you know, she was a young woman, and if she danced before them, that he would get honor her request. And the mother was evil and deceptive. She was nothing but a witch, and she had already had plans because she hated John, was telling the truth in the land in regards to the things that they were doing, because she was previously Herod's other brother's wife. And so John was telling her that wasn't right. They shouldn't be doing that. And he was preaching against so many things that was evil in the land and telling people to repent. And this woman was nothing but a witch and wanted him dead. So he had already promised her whatever she wanted, he would give it to her. And so he said, I give you my word. And she's like, okay, you promise? Yeah, okay. So then the mother, the witch being the witch, went and confronted the daughter, said, okay, this is what we're going to bring before him. And the Bible even talks about how he was saddened to have to do that, but he had to uphold his word because he had put his word in the atmosphere. So I said that to say this. Back then, folks would honor their word. I remember my granddaddy saying, like, we right now, like in this day and era, we have to deal with a lot of contracts. We got to do with a lot of, you know, it'd be a lot of backlash. You got to sue folks to get what you're doing. And I was just sharing with my mother on earlier this evening that how, you know, when I say something, I just learned to be a woman of my word. You know, I haven't always been a woman of my word, and that's the honest to God truth. You know, a lot of things I did, I made mistakes when I was younger. I wasn't responsible. Excuse me. I wasn't responsible, and I wasn't about my business the way that I should have. But over time and going through different life experiences and looking at structure and how things should be, I've learned, and just education and everything that has molded me to make me the person who I am, I've learned that it's imperative to be a person of your word. If you're going to say something, be a woman of your word. Be a person of your bond. And that's what, to the people that work with me, they know me. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm very strategic. I want it A to Z lined up, and I'm on it. You know, I'm very, some people don't like that. They want wiggle room. I like, give it to me straight up down, A to Z. Don't throw no flagrant stuff in there. I don't want no fallacy. I don't want you just throwing stuff in there. Be clear and concise with me. Let me know exactly what it is, what we doing, and let's do it and get the job done. And I appreciate you for what you've done, and I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain. Amen. So that's what it's about. So his dad could not go back on his word because the blessing was pronounced. He stood on his word. He had to let his son know that this is the way that things had to be, despite of him, you know, his hurt and weeping and everything. And I know that hurted him because, remember, this was his favorite child. This was the son that always went out, and you know he wanted to bless him. But because of the way that God had orchestrated the thing, it was not to be. And he said his youngest brother had already taken authority over them. He said, y'all going to serve him. Your children, your grandchildren, the generations after them, y'all going to serve him. He's going to be the mighty one. He's going to be the leader. He's going to be the one that's in charge and the overseer of y'all family, of this lineage, of this legacy. And he was letting him know, and his brother wasn't happy about that, but that's the way that it was. So with that being said, I realize that when God orchestrates something, oh, my Lord, I'm going somewhere here. When God orchestrates something and he said this is the way it ought to be and this is the way that it's going to be, it's not something we can take lightly, saints. We can't say, I don't want it to be that way. And I know we get like that. We want things to go the way we want them to go. But we really have to evaluate what is the Lord saying in our life about how he has orchestrated things in our life to be. I mean, I know a lot of times we could go back and we could change some things and we would say, we want to do it this way. And I don't care what nobody say, I'm not even doing it that way. I'm telling you, I do it all the time. I look at my life and I say, no, I don't want to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. And this is exactly the way that I want my life to be. This is the way I want my life to go. And I'm talking to the Lord and I'm expressing him these things. You know what I mean? But what we find is that y'all doing good, y'all. We got about 20 more minutes, 27 more minutes to the clock, and we out of here. But what I'm saying to you is that God, he knows what's best for us, y'all. You know, I'm sure that Isaac didn't understand that. He didn't understand why his son had did that to him. He probably didn't understand why he had to pronounce that blessing on him, but God knew that and had orchestrated that and knew that that was the son that he wanted the blessing to be filled upon. And so what I'm saying to you on this morning is that God knows your blessings. He knows how he's going to orchestrate those blessings. He knows who he's going to use to give you those blessings. And what you have to do is you've got to just trust God in the moment. And you've got to say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. I'm standing on your word. I'm asking you, God, to help me through this. Help me through this time. Help me through this season. Help me through this storm. I want to read just a little bit more of, give y'all a scripture that's been on my heart. And I know it's a little different, but I really want y'all to look at this. This is just a scripture that came to me that's on my heart about this evening, and this is where I want to go. Just bear with me. I'm getting there right now, and I want y'all to just listen to me, okay? I'm going to talk about Paul on the road to Damascus. And I'm going to start here. It says, this is Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Saul, remember he wasn't Paul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the saints of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he went to Damascus, and he sought the high priest so that he could slaughter the men and women that was followers of Jesus Christ. And 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined it round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? Remember, Lord was a terminology for anyone that was like had authority over you. So it wasn't like we think like the word Lord as in mighty God. It was actually a word that was used to say anybody of higher power, higher rank. It was considered a Lord over you. And he says, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonishedly said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but not seeing no man. Okay, so before, I want to stop right there. Okay, I'm going to go a little further. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Okay, and then he went to Ananias' house. So I'm going to stop right there. When I was thinking about this, I really wanted to understand what the Lord was saying to Paul, at the time was Saul, because the Lord acknowledged him as Saul. He was Saul at the time before God gave him a new name. He was renamed, and he was baptized, and he went before Ananias in his house, and they were scared. They was like, you the one that persecute the saints, but he was saying, He had a newfound revelation. Jesus says in his word, it's hard to kick against the prick. What does that mean? That means that it's hard to fight up against something that you know that is meant to be. Okay? Just like in the last story of Isaac and Jacob and Esau, it was destiny. So no matter what they wanted to do, it's not what God said it's going to be. And so all the fighting and all the harm that Paul had done previously to the saints at Saul, as he operated under Saul, his name at the time, the Lord was saying, with that, you better know that this is not the ultimate destiny, and you're fighting up against something that you can't win. You can't win because I'm going to win this battle. At the end of the day, he was converted, and he became a full-fledged apostle and a man of God with honor and stripes, and died, and died with his stripes. So he ran his race. He ran his course. So what I'm saying to you is that the Lord, he knows where we at. And no matter what it's going to take, hallelujah, no matter what it's going to take, God is going to allow whatever the need is. I don't care how bad the situation is. We can see how bad the situation is because Paul was persecuting the saints. But God said, even though you persecuting the saints, and no matter what you do, at the end of the day, I'm going to be glorified. At the end of the day, you're going to leave my people alone. At the end of the day, you're going to be a soul-pledged apostle working for me, doing the will and the work of God. Look at the Lord. He knows everything, how it's going to turn out. He had it all mapped out. He knew exactly how it was going to go. And the Lord said, no matter what, guess what? You're going to be one of my greatest, and he was one of God's greatest generals. If you look at the Word of God, he was the person that wrote majority of all the rest of the end of the Bible. He wrote majority of all the rest of the books. God used him in that great capacity to be the number one spokesman for the Word to be established. Now, we know we have others like John, and we know we had John the Revelator, and we had others, but God used Paul, the man that persecuted the saints, that God had to blind for 3 days and make shut up and think about what he need to do to reconstruct his life, to do what the Lord said. He said, what must I do, Lord? He said, it's Jesus, it's me. You persecuting me. He said, you think that you're persecuting the people, but you persecuting me. And it's folks that think they persecuting you, but they don't know that they harming you. They messing with God because the anointing of God is on your life because of who you are. And they don't even realize that the stuff that they doing, they messing with God because they messing with his anointed one. Oh, my Lord have heaven. I want you to get excited about the things of the Lord. I want you to get prepared and get in position. I talk about my time is now. I talk about the greatness of God. I talk about the goodness of God. I talk about how we need to stand and trust the Lord in this season, in this time in our lives. Listen, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to stand on his word. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. So we've got to do those things that God has commissioned us to do. Amen. We're not going to be like the brother that gave up on his blessing. He lost two things. He said, not only did I lose my birthright, but I lost my blessing. No, no, no. We ain't going to lie. We're not going to give up our blessing, and we're not going to lose our blessing, because we're going to stand on faith. Faith is the word of God. Faith is the shield against all the darkness and all the evil things that's coming towards us. And we're going to hold up the shield of faith to be triumphant and victorious over the things that we are asking God for in our lives. Come on here, saints. We're going to do it. We're going to trust him. We're going to believe in him, and we're going to stand on his word no matter what we're going through. No matter how bad it seems, no matter how we're shaken by the things that's happening in the world, we're not going to look at these things, because faith is the evidence of things hoped for. We're hoping for the great things of God. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence. Faith is the evidence, meaning it's the proof. Evidence means proof. Proof beyond the shadow of a doubt, meaning that there is no fallacy in it. You have to trust God despite what everything looks like. Look, I've been talking to y'all, and I've been preaching, I've been reading, and it's been well over an hour and almost a half. Amen. I had to do my show a little longer because, again, remember I told you guys we had to get the timing down pat, which I believe we've got taken care of, and at the end of the day, we'll be able to do that. I know I talked about a lot of preliminary things. Y'all can go back and listen to some of the stuff I talked about, some housekeeping things, and I want y'all to listen to what I had to say. But right now, this is the time that we need to focus on the Word. Come on, saints, we're going to focus on the Word because it's a struggle right now. It's a struggle right now for a lot of people to stand on the Word because they so scared, and we living in a world of fear, a panic. And when we're going through that as a nation, the where we at right now because of things that's happening in the earth, you got to trust God. You got to stand on His Word. You got to believe Him. No matter what is going on, you got to trust Him in this season in your life. I mean, you got to stand on His Word without a shadow of a doubt and know that what He has promised you, not told you, I'm talking about a promise. Okay, listen. I've got to give y'all some of these seminars. Just hold on because I mean, just hold on. It's got to be a shaking in us. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna get this. I want y'all to get this. Amen. On this morning, promise is the word of honor. It's assurance. It's a pledge. It's a vow. It's a guarantee. It's an oath. It's a bond. It's an undertaking. It's a commitment. It's an agreement. It's a contract. It's a covenant. And it's a compact. Oh, my God of heaven. This is what God has given us. He's given us a reassurance. He's given us His Word. His Word, He has to honor. We talked about honor. Remember we talked about honor, how the kings had to honor? God is the highest king. Jesus is the highest king. He's made set an equal, set by side of His Father. Honor is, He got to live by the honor of His Word. If He promised you anything, if He told you anything, if He's given you any inkling of a dream, it's going to come to pass. Because it has to. Because God cannot lie. He can't lie. He can't even go back. He can change His mind on some things, but He don't go back on His Word. The Bible says He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He never changes. He says that I'm the same God from yesterday, today, and forevermore. Remember, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will last forever, throughout all times in every generation. His Word. That's how strong His Word is. Amen. So I want us to really, I want you to feel the heart of what the prophetess is saying to you on this morning about really holding on, about really having faith, about really trusting God. Complete trust is to have, to lean, to believe, to have faith in someone or something and have an assurance with it. That means that I know for a fact it's going to happen, it's going to come to pass. That's a fact. It's a fact that God is going to do everything that he promised me he was going to do. It's a fact. And so sometimes in life, when we look at the things around us, that just seems so hard to believe, right? You can look at a lot of things and you're like, that don't look like a fact to me, considering what I'm seeing and what I'm looking at. But it's an illusion, y'all. It's trickery. A lot of times this stuff is set up by the devil and his cohorts of angels to distract us, to make us look like it's not going to happen or it's not going to come to pass. But that is where you have to stand on the word of God, and you got to trust him, and you got to believe despite no matter what it look like, you know for a fact that God's going to bring it to pass. And remember the Lord talked about, told Paul it was hard to kick against the prick, because he was letting him know, like, no matter how, and where did that term, I'm going to tell you where that terminology came from. Back in historical times, in Jesus' days, talking over 2,000 years ago, how they had to farm is very different than how we do today, right? Even in the 1600s, 1700s in the United States, they had to farm differently. And so they used mules. And at the time Jesus says this, they had little like arrow, like a pointed long arrow, like a metal arrow that had like a arrow tip to it, and it was like a stick they would have, and the stick probably could have been 10 feet, 12 feet long. And what they did is they used that prick, and they had the mules going and in front of the cart, and they would take that prick and prick the mule to keep the mule, and when the mule would go off track or get out of order, they would prick the mule to get the mule back on track. And that's where the terminology comes from. So Jesus is talking his lingo from his day. People know God is a historical God. He talks in his language. When I hear people talk about they talk to the Lord and they talk like he talking slick, no, you ain't talk to God, because he don't even talk like that. People say the weirdest things just to get attention these days, and we just got to be mindful of that. Amen. We're getting ready to close. Before we do so, I hope y'all enjoyed the word. It's good to go back over these scriptures. Remember, I'm going to just tell y'all, we go back and you can go to Genesis 25, and we had verse 19. Then we went to Acts 9 and 3. So I just want to tell y'all, the word is powerful, and the word works. If you work it, the word works. Standing and trusting and believing and knowing that God's word is true, y'all. You know, I just really wanted to do some, I'm going to do a little bit, I was a little long-winded this, like I said, because our segment was longer, and I really wanted to really kind of work that word and teach it in regards to talking about Isaac, Esau, and Jacob. And trying to really understand, and then you can do your own scholarly research. I recommend that you go back yourself and study and read and to understand who those nations are and who they are, because God gives us things ahead of time to give us revelation of things that will happen in life, and he gives us these things to understand where we are in time, seasons, and in destiny. So a lot of things that were hid and that were secrets are not secrets anymore, because God is allowing it to be revealed in our day and in our time, in our hour. And remember when Jesus talked about how there were many men in his day that would have loved to be, he told the people they would love to be in your place to see the miracles and the things that you're seeing. He said it would be a lot of people that would love to be in your shoes to see this, to be before him, which is to see Jesus in action. Oh, my God, yes. So he was telling them it's a lot of people that wish they were in your shoes. And he said, you, and he let them know, you might not understand and you might not know. He said, but it will be a time where I won't have to talk in parables. Remember, he talked in parables because he said they would be blinded, that they would not know. But he said there will be a day and time that revelation will come, amen, especially to the people, and that we're in a day of revelation now. And John the Revelator, when he was seeing the things he saw, he had no idea what he was, a lot of things he had no idea at all what it meant. But it was for the end times, just as Daniel, he didn't have any idea. And some, a lot of majority of things, when he talked about the beasts out of the water and things like that, and he's seen the crowns on the horns, he didn't know what any of those symbolized things symbolize and what does those mean with the nations. Amen. But God allowed Daniel, the prophet, to be able, as they were taken into bondage in Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar, the great King Nebuchadnezzar, who built Iraq, who built Babylon as a city of jewels. They said it had beautiful gems going in with lions at the gate. They said it had waterfalls and flowers of fountains that will fall all over the entrance of, and the water, he had flowers that would, was on hills. As you looked up the hills and the mountains, you just saw beautiful flowers, rows and rows of flowers. He was the first one to, in the world, to have a massive garden appeal as a state that he did. Okay? So we're talking about Babylon. Y'all know I'm a scholar, so I talk about these things. Amen. So with that being said, talking about the great King Nebuchadnezzar being in the presence, Daniel happened to be a revelator, had to see when Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to charge everybody in the kingdom. If you can't tell me this dream, everybody is going to die. Everybody's head will be on the guillotine. And Daniel said, give me time. He went in and talked to the king and said, I have a God in heaven who will reveal secrets. He will reveal the hearts of man. And he did. And he let King Nebuchadnezzar know, because King Nebuchadnezzar said, I will not even reveal details of the dream. You are to tell me the dream. Could you imagine having to tell somebody something? You have no idea what they dream, but they know it but won't tell you. He wouldn't even, I use the telephone, now tell me the dream, now, but I'm supposed to come up with the dream. And Daniel was given a dream by God and the revelation of it. And he told him that he was the golden head. Now, I'm not going to go all the way down to the feet, but we talked about the Medes and the Persians. There was your arms and chest. Then your legs. Those were the Grecians. That is Alexander the Great. Then we talked about the feet. That is the Roman Empire. Amen. Then we talk about the toes that are mixed with clay. So y'all know that I'm a prophet, so I talk about a lot of revelatory things. When you're on here, you're going to hear me talk about end time. I talk about that because this is, I speak about this. Now, I'm over about 2 minutes in. I'm not going to get too deep into it, because I don't have to go back and retract. But where I was going with that is to let you know that Daniel, he was letting King Nebuchadnezzar know that he was the head. A lot of people think Egypt was the head because Egypt had all of the glory. But no, it was the kingdom of Babylon, which is in Iraq. They were the first great nation of the golden head that God called the golden head of the golden image. All right. Just want to share that with you. You're going to get a lot of good stuff being here with me in the wee hours of the morning. You're going to get a lot of stuff. I love you. I love you. I hope this was encouraging. I hope you can go back. I hope you can research it, and I hope you can really listen to what the prophetess had to say to you on this morning. I know some things you might not understand, but you can always go back and replay. Go to blogtalk.com/prophetfree. And when you do that, you will be able to replay the entire broadcast. And anything you missed that I said that you didn't understand, you definitely can go back over it and you can hear it again. Next week, we will be going over and we will definitely be discussing some new topics. I will be here with you on that will be Saturday at midnight. Amen. And that will be every Saturday from here on out. I will be here at midnight. So I want you to get excited. I want you to know that you got some good teaching, some good training. You're under some good leadership. We're going to be talking about prophecy. We're going to be talking about hope, deliver, and I ask God that you will cover your people in the blood and let them go forth in this week with power and victory and love and a sound mind in Jesus' name. And I thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. This is your number one prophetess call to the nation for this generation. Royal Point, Sienna Spreewell. Be blessed and have a great morning.